This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Yeah, because you practiced at it.
Pearly Pops, I've tried to introduce the podcast.
Okay, go and introduce
I'm introducing the podcast, everybody. Hello, it's Leslie Pops, and welcome to wherever you're listening and whenever you're listening. And we have a very special guest today, and I can't help but go, Judy. Anyway, that's
nicely
it for me.
Done.
I'll be in the background.
Yes, and we kicked Danny out of here because we're going to get in some deep woman stuff here.
Yeah.
And not that we don't love our Dan, we do. But I just felt for this one, let's just us three ladies go for it. And I do want to officially welcome Judy, but I know
it's Judith.
Judith, I know you from Facebook, so I think of you as your Facebook name, which is Judith. But what should we call you today when we talk to you?
You go by Judy.
I go by Judy.
Oh,
Judy.
And we are going to get you to actually almost hog the mic. So
yeah,
let's pull it closer to you. To
we could even pull the whole base of that.
Yeah, let's pull
it.
Yeah,
we can get John.
John's running over. Like
Gentleman John.
Yeah, and so Serene and I really get obnoxiously into our mics.
Well, I don't. I get in trouble by my sister all day because I'm not close enough to the mic. She won't tell you off, Judy. Don't worry.
No.
Well, feel free to correct me with anything.
But today is so, I feel, super important. I feel like it's going to be super powerful. And I feel like it's time. We're going to be talking about, we brought Judith here because Serene and I really haven't lived this, and we don't want to be spouting off about things we haven't lived. We only spout off about things that we have lived. The topic of emotional eating. Yeah, we all eat for comfort and emotion sometimes, but there's a deeper thing when someone is almost hurting themselves and self-sabotaging by deep loathing and emotional eating and a history of that. And Judith, we talked on Facebook, maybe it was a couple of years ago now. And I saw a post of yours and talked about how you were walking into freedom from emotional eating. And I just thought, man, we need to have her on the podcast one day. And that was was that 2 years ago?
It was about 2 years ago. I met you at the store before there was a cafe at the Bon Aqua store.
Yes. And here we are. It's taken this long for things to work out.
Well, this is perfect timing.
There is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess today we're just going to hear your story. And I know you have a message for women. I know so many ladies are dealing with this because even if you have a healthy eating food program and something that you can do and something that works or something
or
wise.
Makes sense.
Something that makes sense. But still, if there's these deep emotional tears.
It doesn't matter how much it makes sense then.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're just going to sit at your feet today and glean wisdom from you. And if you want to just start by telling us who you are and what you're about and where you have come from and I guess why you want to be here.
Well, I'm Judith on Facebook, but Judy is what most people call me. I'm married. We have 5 kids, 5 grandkids, and a lot of grand dogs and grand cats.
Oh,
John will be happy.
Yes.
And 2 fur babies. I can't forget those.
Yeah.
My life hasn't been the typical, you know, the little house with the white picket fence. It's had its, you know, rough times, but we all have a story. And God's given me a story. And I hope in some ways that people can connect to certain areas of it. And of course, in some ways, it may be a little bit unique. But my story, if I had to label it one thing, for decades, it was just shame. You know, shame about myself. Growing up, I had an abusive alcoholic father. And I can remember we were in a single wide trailer, 6 of us. And I remember hearing him laughing and talking about my big mouth. So for years, I wouldn't even smile without my hand over my face. Aww. And God's healed that. Now I know the bigger
the
mouth.
You've got the most beautiful smile in the world.
She does, guys. You. If you could see this beautiful, beautiful woman.
It's so funny
here.
What the devil accuses and lies about, because it's the smile that's the most beautiful part of who you. Like, your smile is incredibly beautiful. Well, and so it's funny to think that that's what.
Can I? And also, know, lies, and I don't, I'm lies. Sure you don't mind because you're just an open person. Can I ask how old you are, Judy?
I'm 59. I turned 59 Sunday. Yes.
And you have, I don't know what's exuding from you, but it's this peaceful beauty coming from outside. You're a very trim, healthy, and a very healthy looking woman, but you have this something on the inside that is just.
It's an anchor of security thing.
Yeah. So let's continue on with this story. I love where you're going. I actually hate it because I hate hearing that a child was talked to like that. Yeah. But I know there are good things coming. But tell us all of it. Well, what you're comfortable telling.
Oh, that's fine. Well, the problem with things like that is we all give weight to certain words and the things that certain people say. And I think a lot of times we give weight to the wrong things. Yeah. And I gave weight to what my dad said. And I can even remember sweeping. And he ridiculed how I swept the floor. And do you know, it's only been within the last 15 years that I can sweep the floor and not hear that ridicule in my head. But I'd put a lot of value in that. And I wanted to please him, you know.
Yeah, because girls love their daddies.
Yes. And I do want to say, though, he came from an abusive home.
Yes.
So this is not bashing him. But he came from an abusive home. And, you know, we know that hurt people hurt people.
Yeah,
but
right.
I just wanted to please him. I so wanted to please him. And a few years ago, I came across a verse that says, she who hides a transgression seeks love. And that was my heart. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to be loved. Yeah. And so I didn't think people would ever love me for who I was, so I hid who I was, and I became somebody who I thought others would be pleased with, you know, and so if you rejected me, then, you know, it wouldn't hurt me because it wasn't the real me.
Yeah. Wow.
But sometimes when you do that, you lose track of who the real you is, you know, and so I would portray myself as to whatever I thought people wanted at that time. Growing up was hard. I saw my mother abused, and I was the oldest of the kids. So
oldest of six, and you grew up in a trailer, yeah.
Yes. Yep. Six in the summer, four throughout the school year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I would gather my sister, my two brothers in the back room when Dad would come home drunk, and I didn't want them to see him beating Mom. And then I started singing this song to him. And I promise you, I don't know where I learned it, but it's something like, wash my hands in the muddy water, wash my hands, but they won't come clean. Try to do what my daddy tells me, but I must wash my hands in a muddy stream. I really don't know where I learned that, but I sang it so that they wouldn't hear Dad hitting Mom. And I learned that I was really helpless to help my mom. And I also felt like I wasn't a good enough little girl to keep my dad from drinking. So I always tried to become a better person.
So you took the blame.
I did. And I think a lot of people in abusive homes, they feel the guilt and they feel like they're alone in it and like it's all their fault. And I now know it wasn't my fault, but I still took on that shame. I took on a lot of shame through my life. When I was very young, my great uncle used to come and visit us at my grandmother's house, and he always had gum. And he touched me in ways I really didn't like and really didn't understand. And then later, I had a coach who did the same, and I learned I was dirty. And whenever I've shared my story with anyone, I take these hello, my name is labels.
Yeah.
And all these names.
Ones that you wear at conventions to say who you are,
Exactly. But I never put Judy on them. Yeah. It's always, you know, helpless, not good enough, ugly, fake. And those names just kept adding and adding and adding on. And then I met Prince Charming, and he loved me.
How old were you?
I was 15.
15.
Yeah.
15, yep.
But the way he spelled love was L-U-S-T. But, you know, I was seeking love. So I became pregnant at 15, married the month before I was 16, had my second child when I was 17, which just means I'm a young Grammy.
Yeah.
But after we'd been married about 15 years, he started coming home late. But it was a new job. You know, you don't think anything about that at first. And then this, he would come home and the phone would ring once, you know, before cell phones, this was landlines, you know, the phone would ring once and suddenly he'd say, oh, I have to run an errand, and he would leave. I realized what was going on. I tried not to for a while, but I confronted him and he said, I don't love you. I've been loving another woman.
Yeah.
And I added another name to my list, unlovable. Mm. I then, after we separated, it was a really hard time, and I was seated. I could take you back to the exact place in my home at that time that I sat on the edge of the bed, and I had a bottle of pills in one hand and a glass of water in the other hand. And I thought, what's the use? You know, I'm a reject. Nobody will ever love me. And I just felt totally hopeless. And as I sat there, God said to me, your children will find you.
Oh, wow.
So I got up and I flushed the pills down the commode and said, okay, you've got to do this, God. I can't do it.
Can I ask you if you, did you know God at the time?
I did.
Yeah.
I came into a close relationship with God at 18.
Okay.
At one point, I had walked down the aisle and prayed with the pastor, and he presented me as saved, you know, to the congregation, which can be a bit dangerous, but
yeah.
I had labeled myself a liar too. One time when I was little, I looked in our freezer and we had tenderloin. It was tenderloin, but I read it as tenderloin. And my mom made this cute little jumper for me, and it was an animal print jumper, and I wore it to school, and I told everybody my daddy had killed a lion and my mom had made me the outfit from his hide, but lions don't have spotted hides, so that lie didn't go over very well. But with Prince Charming, after a year after I had gone forward and prayed and had been presented as saved, Prince Charming asked me a question, and I lied to him. I lied to hide. I didn't want him to know the truth about, and it was a simple thing, but I lied, and he didn't believe me. Well, that was devastating. For someone to think I was a bad person was so devastating. So I ran into the bedroom and I just plopped open my Bible and it fell to Luke where it says, glory to God in the highest and on earth goodwill to those with whom he is pleased. And I know now that's the Christmas story, but all I knew then, I was a young, well, that day I became a Christian, I just knew God was pleased with me. And it didn't make sense to me because the whole year before, I was still me. I was still messing up. I still wasn't a, quote, good person. And every time I would do something bad, I'd just shake my fist at heaven and say, so God, do you love me now? And he did. And then he said he was pleased with me after I lied. It just didn't make sense. But now I know it's not that I lied that he was pleased I lied, but he was pleased that I came to him in my pain and my shame.
Wow. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
So when did the emotional eating part of this start? And I know we didn't finish the rest of your story, but was it starting like after you were married or during these times where you just kept giving yourselves these names and labels? Or
excellent question. I think part of it is through our family. Of course, everything was around food every time we got together. And I have to say, it's generational in my family. My grandmother used to hide candy even from her grandkids. How wounding is that? But she would hide candy from us and eat it. And then when she went into a nursing home the last year of her life, she was diabetic and her blood sugars weren't being controlled. And my aunt was just livid with the staff. What are you giving her? Well, come to find out, she was wheeling herself around and stealing others' desserts.
That's funny. Wow.
So I know that was the pattern that was set for me. Another thing, I believe that a lot of our emotional eating, the binge eating, I didn't see it for a long time, but also it comes from past wounds. A lot of it does. Those things that we tell ourselves or the trauma we've experienced. And growing up, we didn't have a lot of money and a lot of food. And I think I had this scarcity mentality about food, if that makes sense. It was like a fear that there wouldn't be enough. And we didn't do without. But I think that kind of played into it, the fear of not having enough and overeating. But it's just the shame. It's just, I don't deserve to eat right. It's just a habit, you know, of going back and getting this. And you don't even realize what you're doing until it's over. It's, I know other people use other coping mechanisms that aren't healthy. And mine was, you know, gorging on food.
Gorging. So, and that was through your adult life?
Yes.
And what did that look like when you were gorged? Did you eat normally sometimes? And then when you felt the loathing or you felt pressed upon maybe with emotions?
Oh, absolutely. You name a diet, I've probably been on it, and I would control it for a certain amount of time, but the emotions become overwhelming. Right. I used to tell people it's like there's lockers everywhere, and I would stick my pain in different lockers and shove it, and I'd think I'll deal with that pain later. And then at certain times when you just wouldn't even expect it,
all the doors pulling open.
Yes, and all that pain just cascading down on me. And again, reminding me I'm not worth much. And I know that my mother, when I was in my 20s, told me that I based my worth on my weight. Hmm. And I do believe she was right, but that was just another form of shame.
Yeah. Now, so did the overeating result in a weight problem eventually, or not?
Because you're sitting here so thin.
Well, thanks to Trim Healthy Mama, I could lose the weight and I would gain it back because of the excessive eating. And
so what was it, times of like binging where you would just go through seasons, or was it just like one meal and then back to it? Or
It was more sporadic, but there were seasons, yes. And the funny thing is, it wasn't until Trim Healthy Mama that I even really named it that.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And I know that I tend to take everything in through feelings and then I act on it. And there's not a whole lot of thought in between. Yeah. But Trim Healthy Mama actually helped me put my finger on it. But yes, I would eat normal in front of family and friends. You know.
What were your binges like?
And if you don't mind being vulnerable with us, I don't want you to feel at all like sharing what you don't want to share. But because there could be people that are used to Weight Watchers and used to all this thing, and they might think eating to satisfy is awful. You know, they're just so used to denying themselves that they might think when they finish everything off the plate that they're gorging. And I want to clarify what it really is, so that people don't think they have,
emotional eating. Yeah. Right. What does binge eating, what did it look like for you?
For me, it looked like always having a plan, even though I wasn't realizing what I was doing. I always had a plan. I would go to the grocery store and maybe buy boxes of snack cakes, and I would put them places and think, okay, well, that's there just in case. Okay. And then something would cue the emotions, and I would feel out of control.
Yeah.
And I would go and I'd think, oh, just one.
Yeah.
And then the boxes would be gone.
Wow. Yeah.
And Canada spoke about her blood sugar dropping.
Oh, Coach Canada, when she was here a few potties back. Yes.
And so I recall one night I had done that. Of course, you hide it. Yeah. Your family doesn't know. And this was just immediately prior to Trim Healthy Mama. I had binged and my sugar had dropped so much, I'd laid on the couch and I was just out of it. And my husband was standing at our front door going, there is a tornado coming. Are you not going to get up?
Wow.
And I was just so...
It's like your body was almost comatosing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Wow. And I know binge eating can look different for different people. Yes. I do realize that. But for me, that's mainly what it was. It was always sugar foods. It wasn't regular food, but it was always hidden. And it was always...
And did it feel like it comforted you at the time? because I feel comforted by a meal. Say, mm-hmm. say I'm, you know, I'm ready for a meal and maybe life is a bit stressful and then I eat and I'm like, this is good. And that's natural. God made,
right,
you
I
know, a
like
baby
to be comforted,
comforted at the breast. And, you know, a dinner time with our family does comfort.
Right.
But I think this.
You get a baby a full tummy before you put them to bed and they feel comforted. Yeah.
But I think this is something far different, right, where it's, is it almost.
Well, sugar, see, is it can be a drug, and so yes. there's that yes. addiction to looking for the high. That it's the fake
is that
high.
It? Is it the high of the serotonin from that super high sugar that sugar gives, or a lot of carby foods, like, you know, the same thing can happen from
ice cream.
Packets and packets of potato chips or, mm-hmm. or ice cream, or it's the devitalized foods, right?
Right, right. And I think it's a combination of that where, yes, you know, you're jittery, you're emotional, and you, didn't know how to deal with it.
Yes.
So I dealt with it. The only way I knew how was to seek the comfort from food. And I've shared with people when I was happy, I ate. When I was sad, I ate. When I was anxious, I ate. And I just needed a lot of comforting. And my habit in our family was that food was comforting.
Yeah.
But it only gives you momentary comfort. And right. that is the fool's gold in it, right. we'll say. That because that momentary comfort is immediately replaced by the shame.
Right.
And so I like what you're saying before. It's good to feel comforted by food, Pearl. You're mm-hmm. like, you know, sometimes it's you're ready for lunch and maybe it's cold outside. You're looking for that warm bowl of soup. And it doesn't just make you full. It makes you feel satisfied
nurtured
and complete.
And
you know, just yeah. you feel great.
So like mm-hmm. Leslie so Pops like, has become our mummy and tucked yeah. us in.
No, I feel like, and I feel like, I think that there can be a truth and a health to something, but then it can pass a line, a certain line, you
yes.
know? And so, and I think that's in everything,
absolutely.
Not just food, in everything. There can be like, okay, this is healthy and it's okay to receive joy from it, but mm-hmm. it's at a certain point, then it's twisted.
Yeah.
You know,
so, so back to where we were, you were, I guess divorced from
yes.
from Prince Charming, your mm-hmm. first husband, single mom.
Yes.
But you knew our Father God and he was and you loved him and yet you were still on this journey with wearing these labels.
It's very
right?
interesting that because
yeah.
you know, my name is Serene, mm-hmm. which I believe that names are so important. And I believe everyone's destiny is for peace, but I really mm-hmm. believe I was called to bring peace mm-hmm. and that peace was to be my banner. You know, mm-hmm. Serene means tranquil and calm. But that's where I was attacked my whole life, like fear. Like Pearl wasn't attacked with fear the way I was attacked with
well,
fear.
Well,
like,
I was later in my life.
Maybe later in your life, but like it was definitely a stronghold over mm-hmm. my life. But it's so interesting because I was saved and loved the Lord.
Yes.
But I did not know deep soul rest.
Right.
But it was because I wasn't letting him. But it's so interesting that our journey with the Lord is we can find that he has done the work, but we just are holding on still. You
yes.
know? It's interesting that.
Well, all of these labels, hello, my name is, and fill in the blank, God hadn't put them there.
Yeah.
So being saved didn't automatically rip them off of me.
Mm. If you're still putting the badge on every day you get up.
Exactly. But I have learned the more you pull them off in truth,
yes.
And then when you try to stick so it back good. On, it doesn't stick as tight.
I love that.
Oh, that's good.
And I love what you said. You didn't just pull it off. You had to pull it off in truth.
Yes.
Meaning you fought those name tags with truth every time. You place truth in their spot.
Can yes. I ask you today as you're sitting here and you tell us, you know, you walk in freedom from emotional eating. We'll get to that. And you have practical things about it too,
absolutely.
Which I'm so excited about. Do you still struggle with it? Or do you feel like you're free?
I do struggle.
Yes.
At, when... You, Pearl, when you confirmed that I would be coming here today,
yes.
the first thing was all this excitement and fear welled up in me. And it's like, how am I going to handle this? Okay, girlfriend, you've got these tools in your, you know, in your toolbox. Let's see which tools you're going to use.
Mm.
So I did allow myself sunflower butter and stevia sweetened raspberry on a Joseph's pita for comfort food. And I exercised.
Yeah.
And I prayed and prayed and prayed. But then what the worst thing that happened after that was the enemy, the voice inside my head going, well, you're stupid. There's nothing you can share that would help anybody. Who do you think you are? And so once again, I'm like, God, I give everyone and everything to you. just glorify your name, give hope to people who are struggling with emotional eating, the binge eating, the self-sabotage. Mm. And I said, just bring glory to your name. And I've just asked him to speak through me.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I'm thinking about a potty that I don't know what number it was. Pearl keeps track of these things. But when we talked about the sheath rattling by your side and going to battle and loving to go to battle and not that being afraid of the war horse, because you're a war horse, because you were designed to fight, because you were designed to stand for truth, because this is who you are. You're the child of the man of war. You know, God is, he is the mighty in battle, you know?
Yes.
And so it's exciting because just because you've found this freedom doesn't mean that the enemy is gone away, that he's asleep. Like the enemy still prowls to see who he can destroy. But you've got the truth. So it's not wrong that you had these thoughts that came into your head or that you had to battle with new ways to fight these jittery emotions and things like that. The battle was still there.
Yes.
Yeah, but you tackled it. You were like, oh, right, let's see what I've got in my toolbox. So people, bring it on.
People don't have to think they're not free because they're tempted.
Exactly.
Temptation does not mean you're not free.
Oh, in Christ.
It's when you you nurse that temptation and you drown in that temptation, that's when you're not free. But you didn't drown. So you can say, I am free.
Oh.
You still fight, but that's what we're all meant to do. So isn't you don't amazing? Really struggle. I want to clear that out. I just want to speak over you right now.
Yeah.
I don't think you still struggle. I think you still fight.
Oh.
But I don't. I think you fight from a side of victory.
But here's what I want to ask you then, because Serena and I are always walking further into this identity of who we are as that girl, as that child of God. And do you declare yourself, and you used to be an emotional eater, but are you that girl, Judith, even though you fight, are you an emotional eater still, or have you got rid of that identity?
I have laid that identity aside. I have emotions. Emotions are not good or bad, but I also have a choice.
Yeah.
So I either choose to be an emotional eater or I choose to walk in freedom.
Yeah. Right. And I think that's a journey of maturity too, right? We can't say to someone that says on Facebook, you know, I eat my emotions, and we can't say to them straight away, well, you choose. I mean, it's a journey of maturity.
But I love the fact that she has ripped off that I'm an emotional eater name tag. Every day she's ripped it off, but she's ripped it off with truth. And I'd love to know what you've put in its place, like your identity. The name that when you feel like, you know, that name tag is trying to be slapped across your chest, what name tag do you put in its place?
Oh, I am loved.
There's many. Yes.
I am loved.
Yeah.
I am powerful through Christ.
Yes.
I'm a new creation in Christ.
That.
And such were some of you. But now you're washed. You're set apart. You're made just as if you have never sinned in the name of Jesus Christ.
I love it. And that's scripture. And that's amazing.
And I do, for people who don't believe as I do, for 3.5 years, God kept me in that verse, take every thought captive and make it obey Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5. If you're not of the same faith, you can say, take every thought captive and make it obey truth.
Yes. Yeah.
Because most of the things we say to ourselves are not truth. They're not kind. Yeah. And you would never say it to someone you love.
Yeah.
So why are we saying it to ourselves?
Yeah.
But you're right. There is not, I wish there was one magic wand, one pill, supplement that I could give people to eliminate all of this and all of this battle. But it's a walking out of it.
Yeah.
I had someone tell me that the deeper you walk into the woods, the more you have to walk that far back out.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes I think we skip out. And sometimes I think we run part of the way out. But sometimes we're just in the mud working through those things that have kept us back.
And I love the fact that even if you are walking in the mud out, I still don't believe we can see it as we're still chained to it or we still struggle with this. No, we're just fighting. Sometimes we're fighting in the mud still.
Yeah.
But we're just fighting, and we can fight from this viewpoint of victory. Like every time this temptation comes, I'm just going to put truth there. So I'm not chained with the lies anymore. I'm not burdened by the lies. The truth has set me free, and I just might have to slash in the mud about this for a while, but I've got the truth.
Hey, you're listening to The Potty with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
And you know, the fight thing is so real because we've got to take, like you said, shame is such a huge, shame will take any success away from anyone. It's such a huge thing. And I mean, to be vulnerable and open, you know, we've just written that book, Serene, I'm That Girl, right? And it's about to come out soon. And it's all about who your identity is. And yesterday I was just like, having thoughts that weren't up to standard. You know how the Bible says, think on these things that are lovely, that are hopeful, that are full of joy, everything that's good, right? Mm-hmm. Don't think on the other things because it will get you down. But I've just got to be honest. I was that girl, right? Thinking of all the things that are hard in my life, all the stresses, you know, I was just going down in there. And then my brain kept saying, well, Pearl, you're such a brat. It kept telling me, you're a brat. You wrote a book about
this. I don't
think
it was your brain. I think it was
whoever it was. Yeah. You're a brat and you're
the enemy of your soul.
You're a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. And how can you write a book when you look at your thoughts? Look at your thoughts. Who are you? You know, and then I was like, hold on. Right now, doesn't matter that I was thinking those things or the accuser was putting them in my mind or whoever it was, it doesn't matter. But I am a new creature.
Yes.
And right now, I can cut it off. Yeah. Right now, I can choose to think the beautiful thoughts, the lovely thoughts. And it doesn't matter if 5 minutes ago I was in the pits.
Yes.
You know, and it doesn't matter if 5 minutes ago you were emotionally eating. Going forward, you don't have to wear that label, right? And it's always that choice, yes?
Yes. And you made a very good point. When we are living in shame, we are defeated by the enemy and we cannot stand up and complete the task that God has put us here to complete.
Yes.
We need your book. Mm. We need that. But the enemy doesn't want it in people's hands. It's too powerful.
He loves us to wear shame. But isn't it one of his biggest tools? Like when we ate four cupcakes at our 9-year-old's birthday and we're full of shame. It's like, well, I might as well forget this whole trim healthy mama experience.
Yeah.
I'm just right. Not right.
And whether we ate the five cupcakes just 5 minutes ago, this fresh new moment that we're in, we're free because we don't look back, right? We only look back to thank. We don't look back. We don't wear shame. Shame is in the past. And you know how the Bible says, you know, nothing can keep us from the love of the Lord, neither height nor depth nor, you know, it goes into everything. Nor present, nor future, nor things to come. It goes into everything, but it leaves out the past.
Mm.
Because the past can keep us from the love of the Lord. So whether you ate those five cupcakes, it's over, it's done, right? It's fresh, it's fresh. We can be new creatures right now. But I want to say this. Maybe you didn't eat the five cupcakes, but you were just tempted. And maybe every day you're tempted to eat the five cupcakes. It doesn't mean that you struggle. You just fight. I want to clear that point up because I wanted to clear it up for Judy.
Mm.
Yes. I don't want, because I have things in my life still that come through my head. And I just believe that I don't struggle with them. I just fighting off the enemy every day. And he must think I'm just so jolly such a threat that he has to keep putting them in my head. Hey, I'm such a winner.
Oh, you're such a
trying
winner.
To pull me down.
I love it. Hey, so Judy, let's get back to your story because we're 32 minutes in and I want to get to this because it might have to be a two-parter when we get to the practical stuff here. So let's get back to where you are.
Okay.
You're divorced. You're a single mom. I want to hear the rest of this story too, and I want to hear how you walked out of this. But tell us the rest of your story.
Okay. I was a single parent, two teenage kids, and I thought, no one will ever want me. Well, then I met this very charming man, and he would bring his kids to church, and he sang. Oh, I love to hear him sing. And we dated just a short time, and then we married. And, you know, I thought, I will not fail. I will not fail. This marriage is going to work. I won't be a failure. Well, we hit some rocky times, and I labeled myself a failure at that point. We did separate for a time, but then we got back together. And we actually had been married for 15 years, and we were on vacation with my daughter and her family in Florida, and he suddenly dropped dead with a heart attack.
Oh.
And talk about emotions, so many emotions. And I can remember standing in the shower at the condo that night and going, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do this. I mean, my whole entire life had been change the way it was then and the way I saw it. And I just kept thinking of all these things I didn't know how to do. And God said, I do.
Wow.
And so he did give me great peace with that. And then I've gone forward now and I've met Mark, and he's a wonderful, encouraging man. And we have been married 9 years.
Wow.
And he has been with me through walking through a lot of this.
I'm sure.
And if you don't mind, I'm going to kind of go back a little bit. Mm. Before, when we moved, we married and moved, and I only knew one person in the town beside my husband. So I had a lot of alone time.
This current husband,
Mark.
Mark.
And I didn't know anyone, so I had a lot of alone time. That can be kind of scary. But if I'm allowed, I'd like to say I did go through a book called Changes That Heal by Dr. Henry Cloud.
Wow. Yeah, you bring any resources that help you, you bring.
This is not an easy read, and I also bought the workbook and worked through it. But reading through that, it really made me look back at the people who had hurt me and see their pain too and why they struck out at me. And it gave me compassion for them, and I was able to forgive at another level. And there are things in my life choices I've made that it's been really hard for me to forgive myself. Like, why couldn't I have been a better parent? You know, I have great kids, don't get me wrong, but you know, you look back and you think, oh, I could have done this better or that better. I was a teenager when I had my children.
Yes.
So if you look in the front cover and the back cover in different places through the book, I've got all these what I call duh moments. It's like, well, duh, you were a kid having kids, you know, but the redeeming thing was that I relied on God for that.
Yeah.
You know, and he helped me to become a better parent. But forgiving my father for, you know, being raised in an abusive home, and Prince Charming, you know, he was the middle son. He came from an alcoholic home, and he was just looking for value and recognition, you know, and that was his way of seeking it. So it gives you more compassion for other people when you see that, and it removes you from the center of the universe.
Yeah.
Because I felt like Dad drank because I wasn't a good enough girl. I felt like Prince Charming wasn't faithful because I wasn't pretty enough or I wasn't worthy enough. And that's not true. That's just the enemy compounding all mm-hmm. that shame on me.
Mm-hmm.
And when after moving to Dyersburg, I'll go ahead and say it, with my husband, I had been there a short time. And this is where Trim Healthy Mama comes in. And it was January of 2017. I tried another diet. Oh my goodness. Every time I see a bag of Normandy blend vegetables, I get a little nauseous. The diet required that you eat 10 cups of vegetables a day, no fat, you know, very little seasoning. Upon awakening, you had to do specific exercises and eat within 30 minutes of getting up. And I worked out at the gym for between 1.5 and 2 hours, Ooh. 5 days a week. And at the end of 2 months, I'd lost 2 pounds. Huh. My waist had actually gotten thicker.
Oh, cortisol.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my hip joints hurt so badly, I could barely walk.
And the fat all gone from the diet?
Yeah. So I quit that diet and I quit that gym. So then...
How was your weight at that time? Like over what you, let's just say you're at, it looks like a perfect weight now. So how much heavier were you then?
25 pounds.
Okay. Yep.
25 pounds. And so I have a friend, Paula Taylor, who said, hey, you know, a friend of mine, Rebecca Smith, is going to be starting a Trim Healthy Mama group at a church, which was an hour one way away from me. And I thought, why not? You know, hey, it's another shot at losing weight.
Just quit the gym. So
I need the next diet, right?
Because isn't that, let me interrupt you, isn't that how you were only 25 pounds? Some people say, well, that not a lot. But obviously you'd just binged and purged and binged and purged your whole life.
Yes.
So you'd never let, the 70 pound thing hadn't happened to you because you'd quickly get onto the next diet, right? To sort of.
Right. Well, at one point I was 56 pounds overweight.
Okay. Yeah.
And then lost with a very expensive diet that I don't think is even an option anymore because of some of the fraud in the system. But, you know, lost 56 pounds and then gained and lost, yo-yoing. You can look at my pictures and you can track my progress or my lack there.
Yes.
I remember one time my dad was showing someone a picture and they said, well, who is that? He goes, that's Judy during her fat stage.
All right.
You know, but that was my life, yo-yo dieting. And I shudder to think about what I've did to my health before that. But
you went to this THM meeting, yeah.
I did. And I bought the big book. I apologize, I never finished that.
We forgive you.
I still have it. I bought the plan book and Trim Healthy Mama cookbook. And what is it that every dieter does? You want to lose weight quickly, so you go through. And I went through the entire plan book and wrote down every super slimming tip, every slimming, and every stalling or potential stalling. And I was restrictive again.
Really?
Wow. Very restrictive. Because
you went
was my
straight
thought.
Hardcore.
Yes.
Yeah. I bet you were doing the fuel cycles and all of that.
I actually was terrified of the desserts. And okay. I'm, you know, coming from the sugar addiction, that was kind of hard. But hey, I knew how to be restrictive for a time. I did lose 25 pounds, 34 inches, and I went down only one pant size, but it went from a tight pant size to a less one.
Now, but that was what, when?
2017 is when I started.
Are you still that same pant size now? Or
yes, still the pant size, yes.
Okay, that's interesting.
But when I went to the Trim Healthy Mama, how more healing started happening after going through the Changes That Heal book, Rebecca Smith, our leader, she never presented Trim Healthy Mama without presenting truth.
Wow. Mm.
And what she challenged us with, she talked about when the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt. And I'm a research nerd. My friends will call and say, hey, what about this? And so I love to research. So I researched that. And this kind of goes back to a point you made earlier. The Israelites were just a little family, and God wanted to grow them into a nation. So he moved them to Egypt for their good, to protect them and nurture them and let them grow into this big nation. But so it started good. Over 430 years, though, that relationship disintegrated into bondage. And the same analogy I drew from food, what food started is good, but throughout my life, it disintegrated into bondage.
Yeah.
Well, Rebecca asked the question, said, what's your Egypt? What are you in bondage to? And, you know, every good Trim Healthy Mama, when we first start, we go home and clean out our pantry. And as I was going through it, still kind of makes me cry, I found a bag of caramel creams in the back of my pantry. It was a stash I had forgotten about. And that was really when my eyes were opened, actually, to what I was doing. And I know that sounds so ridiculous, but I really don't know that you are fully aware at times of what you're doing. Sure, there were times when I knew, but not to the extent that I'm hiding food and I'm eating bags of candy at a time. And when God just ripped those scales from my eyes, it was like, this is it. This is your bondage. And that's when he started walking me through the truth of laying down those names of shame.
Wow. Man, that's amazing. So Serena, I feel like we have to do the part two and feel like how you walked out now, because we've got your story, right? That's we've got to where you're up to this point where now it's about to happen and you're going to walk out of this. So I would love everybody to return to the part two.
Yeah.
And and let's find out together, because I just know there's so many women where you were, Judy. So come on back.
Definitely. Trim Healthy Mama.